Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. My name is Ron Burroughs, Senior Chief Rob Burroughs, United States Navy Seabees retired, Director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. I'd like to welcome you this morning to Battlefield Expressions. And this morning we'll have one of our guests will be a Vietnam veteran that'll be here. We'll be talking a little bit about a little history about Vietnam and the commemoration of the 65th anniversary that's going to be coming up and the involvement of the Northern California Veterans Museum in the recognition and the memorialization of the Vietnam 65th anniversary. And right off the bat, I'd like to say thank you to all those who came to our Valentine's Day dinner this last weekend on Saturday and had a wonderful night. We had about 170 guests that were there with us, and it was just a beautiful evening. We had some fantastic food, and everybody really enjoyed all of the gourmet spaghetti sauces that we had, and salads, and all the fixings that went with it, and it was an all-you-could-eat affair. We had great music. We had some really nice items that were in our silent auction and our drawings, and the folks got a chance to dance and just enjoy a wonderful evening of honoring our veterans, supporting the Northern California Veterans Museum, and also our Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services Program and our Silver Star Widows Program. And so I want to remind you, you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, your talk radio program. If you'd like to call in this morning, if you have any questions, you can call at 605-4567. That's 605-4567. And the program is brought to you this morning by the Northern California Veterans Museum in honor of all of our veterans, past, present, and those young men and women who will serve and are going to serve in our near and far future. And so our goal, our mission, is to make sure that we remember and that we preserve the history of those who sacrificed and served. We have guests that come into the museum every day. Actually, it's our offices there in Anderson at 2110 North Street. And they donate all different kinds of items from their families. So we've had items donated all the way as far back as Civil War for the museum and for the displays and for what we will be sharing as we move forward with this project. And also, we want to remind you that this program is also brought to you by Foster's Brush Hog Service. You can contact Keith Foster at 440-9531. He sponsors this program in honor of his father, who is a Navy Korean War veteran. Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services and fire breaks, after storm cleanup, and removal of transient waste. Keith and his team, they do all of it. If you'd like to give him a call to help you and to get more information, once again, the phone number is 440-9531. He helps support the museum and our project and out on the property and being able to take care of all those issues that we deal with on a regular basis. Once again, we had a wonderful evening Saturday night. And if you don't have the opportunity to come to some of our dinners, it's just a fantastic night that we have. We have good food. We have a good crowd of people that come. We enjoy the evening. It's family-friendly. It's veteran-friendly. It's community-friendly. And people from our Northern California community, some come dressed up. Some just come in their business casual. But, you know, the biggest thing is we're just glad to have you. We're glad to have you be a part of the program. We're glad to have you help support the program. And those individuals who came and helped to support the auction and our veterans who came and are a part of the program with their spouses, just thank you very much for that support. Sometimes it's veterans supporting veterans in order for us to move forward with these projects. And so the funds that we raised the other night will help in our Homeward Bound program, taking care of our post-9/11 veterans with the Global War on Terror, which is called GWAT, or Global War on Terror, and then also our Silver Star widows and veterans, our elderly. We had about 15 guests there from the veterans' home. Their dinners were sponsored by Silver Star Veterans and Widows. And it's always just amazing for us to have the veterans from the Veterans Home, Northern California Veterans Home off of Knighton Road, come and be our guests. Love these men and women. We had some World War II veterans that were there, ladies and men, Waves and WACS and Army and Navy and Air Force. And then our other veterans, Korean War and Vietnam. And a wonderful group of people who served our country that live here in our community. And when we have them as our guests at these dinners, it's always, we always try to put them front and center, and they are our honorary guests. And it's a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to say thank you to them, to kind of showcase them to all of our other veterans in our community, and let them know that we care about what's taking place. Once again, we have the Veterans Home to honor those that are living here in our community who served our nation faithfully through multiple conflicts. We have our Veterans Cemetery at the Igo Veterans Cemetery to honor those who are passed, who've given their lives, and those who have served, and now they have a place to rest with dignity and honor along with their loved one. And then the Veterans Museum is the third part of that triad. And the Veterans Museum tells that story so that we do not forget these sacrifices that are out there. You know, we have so many people in our community that, and not so much our community, but I would say across our entire nation, that just take their daily freedom for advantage. They don't have any idea the sacrifice that came along. Their lives are completely ignorant of why they have the freedoms. They have freedoms that they just take it for granted because they don't know that somebody actually had to give their life for what they have. They don't know that somebody had to shed their blood, break their bones, or lose a limb for them to have what they have. An example, we had a class come through our office the other day where we gave a visitation, and they walked through and I explained some of the history about some of the things. It was a sixth grade class from one of our local schools. And as I was talking with them about the history that was around us and that's in some of our displays, they couldn't remember anything about 9/11. They couldn't remember anything about Pearl Harbor. These kids are 9, 10, 11 years old. They're a prime place in their lives to learn history. It's the teachers are doing the best they can, but the schools do not, the curriculum does not penetrate or go into any of these things that our nation was founded on, or how our freedom is preserved and how we have what we have today. And as I was trying to explain to them about 9/11 and the jets that flew into the trade towers and then into Pentagon, we have a piece of the Pentagon in our offices. It's a primary piece. As you walk into our offices, it's there in the very front. It's a piece of granite that came from the building of the Pentagon from Flight 77. And we are privileged to have that piece in memoriam to our veterans and our American citizens who gave their lives that day out of 9/11. And to talk to these kids, to refer to 9/11 and them not knowing, well, what's 9/11? That flabbergasted me. How do you explain what 9/11 is to a child or to a group of young people in 5 minutes? You can't. You can't do that in 5 minutes. To explain how we came to that point in the world and in our nation, and then to try to explain why these certain individuals felt it upon themselves to take the lives of so many Americans and what that meant and how that escalated the United States into war and where we are today because of that terrorism around the world and what we're continuing to work with. We have an enormous task ahead of us to teach our generations the past to the present and the future about why our nation is so important. And there's not enough teachers, there's not enough people out there to spread the word of why it is so important for us to love this country, what it takes for us to love this country, and what it takes for us to preserve the freedoms that we have. It's no wonder that you look across the media, and you look across the issues in our social news every single day, and you go, well, how can we be where we're at? And yet, this is one of the reasons why. And we'll talk about that more in just a few minutes on the other side.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5, 1460 AM.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premi is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you're 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579 or go to richforreverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
This is the best Battlefield Expressions.
He said, Mama, I know you have a lot of plans for me. College in the fall, hey, I'm almost 18. I've been doing lots of thinking about a lot of stuff. Went down to the recruiter today and I signed up. If not there, then where? If not now, then when? If not this, then what else can I defend? Being gone and being scared. What else can I do? If not me, Mama. If not me, then who?
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. If not me, then who? And that's what many, many veterans across our nation said when the time came and they were asked to go. It's just like right now in our community. If we don't step up and we don't remember our veterans, if not us, then who? And so that's the task, that's the mission for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, to make sure that we continue to remind each of us, even as adults, what the cost and the sacrifice is. It's so easy for us to get caught up in our daily lives and the freedom that we have, for us to forget where it came from, where what it took for us to have what we have today. And as I was talking earlier, we were talking about children and young people that come through our offices, those that came through the museum when we were out at the Reading Airport off of Meadowview Drive. We had a tour where young people came through. And one of the kids was being explained to about the Vietnam display that we had and everything else. He goes, "What are you talking about? Vietnam was a movie. It wasn't real life." Did you hear me? The boy said that Vietnam was a movie. It wasn't real. Explain that to 60,000 men and women who gave their lives and the families who lost their loved one during that time frame. That is the distortion that our media puts out there for our young men and women who are learning in our schools, the children, how important it is for us to set the rules straight, to set the story straight, and let them know that, you know what, it's not just a movie, it's not just a story. These are people's lives. This was a part of history where men and women served in Vietnam. Wasn't a forgotten war like Korea. It was just a kicked to the side war by people who didn't want to deal with it in our society during that time frame. It's a very difficult time. We're going to talk about that for just a moment. National Vietnam War Veterans Day is a commemorative. They call it a commemorative holiday, but you cannot remember people who gave their lives and call it a holiday. And I don't understand why they say that that's another misnomer. A day of remembrance for our Vietnam veterans is not a holiday. It's a day of remembrance in the United States, which we recognize the sacrifices that veterans and their families made during the Vietnam War. It is also a day to give proper recognition to the men and women who returned home from that war and didn't receive proper welcome home. It is a day that's been celebrated since 1973 on either March 29th or March 30th of each year through the patchwork of state resolutions across the nation. However, in 2017, the date they call it a holiday. I just hate saying that because it's not a holiday. It's a day of recognition. It was set as March 29th by President Donald Trump. This day is now officially known as National Vietnam War Veterans Day. And it is next month, but because we have a Vietnam veteran with us this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about Vietnam and remind you about a little bit of the history of Vietnam and how it affects all of us today and those men and women who are still serving in our communities, in community outreach programs, unsung heroes that help people every day in our communities, and yet a lot of words are not spoken about them, their service is not spoken about, because they do it quietly and they do it with recognition to others in the veterans community. History of the Vietnam War. Towards the end of the 19th century, the country of Vietnam became more gradually controlled by the French. They originally controlled it as a protectorate from 1883 through 1939. Then they controlled it as a possession from 39 through 45. This changed on September 2, 1945, when the nationalist leader Ho Chi Minh of Vietnam proclaimed the country's independence. On December 1946, the First Indochina War began in French Indochina, a conflict between French forces and their opponents, the Viet Minh, who were asserting their independence. Most of the combat during this war would take place in South Vietnam, but the conflict managed to engulf the entire country, as well as the surrounding countries of Laos and Cambodia. The conflict ended on May 7, 1954, when guerrilla fighters led by Ho Chi Minh successfully defeated French forces at Dinh Bien Phu. Also known as the Second Indochina War, the Vietnam War was a conflict where the U.S. as well as other members of Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, SATO, joined with South Vietnamese forces to contest communist forces in North Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. The war featured U.S. and South Vietnamese regular guerrilla forces pitted against North Vietnamese Army, the NVA, and North Vietnamese guerrillas known as the Viet Cong. The United States had the largest foreign military presence and directed the war from 1965 to 1973, which is why this war is widely considered to be an American war. Although other parties were involved, in 1975 South Vietnam collapsed and was replaced with a communist regime on July 2, 1976. The entire country would become the Socialist Republic of Vietnam. According to the U.S. Department of Defense, over 8 million U.S. troops served all over the world during Vietnam. Of these 8 million soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, and Coast Guard, over 58,000 of them died in theater. They sacrificed and gave their lives. The Vietnam War was the longest war in United States history until the war in Afghanistan. The war was also a defensive, very decisive time in the United States, as well as through much of Europe and Australia. Many veterans who returned home either didn't receive any recognition for their service, didn't receive the proper amount of recognition for their service, or outright protest against these veterans. These veterans would come home to a country divided over the debate about the war. Many veterans had trouble readjusting to civilian life in the U.S. It's bad enough coming back from the war zone, dealing with the war issues of PTSD and losing a brother or a sister in combat, let alone having to deal with all the social issues that the country was going through at that time. As time passed, however, public sentiment about Vietnam veterans began to soften. While many people still viewed the war as wrong, they now felt that the veterans of the war were only doing their duty to their country. Nowadays, many veterans and Vietnam veterans are finally receiving in recognition of their service. Over the last few years, 45 states have celebrated National Vietnam War Veterans Day, either on the annual basis or for the year it was enacted. However, not all of them celebrated it on the same day. Some states celebrated on March 29th, some celebrated on the 30th. Many people have felt that the 29th was more appropriate date for it to fall on. After all, that's when the last prisoners of war, the POWs, were returned to the United States and when all combat troops were withdrawn from the war. On February 26, 1974, issued a declaration urging the people of the United States to commemorate March 29, 1974, as the National Vietnam Veterans Day. Under this declaration, we urged all of our officials to fly the U.S. flag in public opportunities, public areas. And on March 28, 2017, President Donald Trump signed the Vietnam War Veterans Recognition Act of 2017. This bill amended the Title IV of the United States Code to encourage flying the American flag on National Vietnam Veterans Day every year from now on March 29th. So this is the 65th anniversary of the Vietnam War. The Vietnam War was basically looked at as starting on November 1st, 1955, and ended May 15th of 1975. Those are the dates that it's considered. It's a 20-year time frame. And so those are the dates that is considered to be the beginning and the end. But the Vietnam War rages today in the minds and in the hearts and in the lives of Vietnam veterans every day. Every day I work with Vietnam veterans who are working in our different communities. They work with the AMVETS, the American Legion, the Disabled Veterans Programs, the Fleet Reserve Association, the Veterans of Foreign Wars. The list goes on and on. These different organizations that we have in our community and across the United States. And these men and women serve, they help with their auxiliaries, veterans that are in need, veterans in the community, veterans that need support on multiple levels. And that's where the Homeward Bound Program and the Silver Star Veterans Widows Program come in and assists and works with them also. It's another opportunity for us to come together in the community. The Northern California Veterans Museum has become a hub for all the different organizations and for people in the community to come to ask questions and to look for services and look to needs. And that's why we develop these programs, and that's why we work with these other organizations in our community so that we can continue to take care of those that are in need. From the smallest level is of educating our youth of tomorrow through Americanism projects and dealing with that in the museum program, educating them firsthand with the programs that where they walk in and they can touch different things and they can look at uniforms face to face. It's not just a story in a book. It now becomes reality as they can look to it face to face or talk to a veteran that was there and get information about what actually took place and how important that is. As the National Vietnam Memorial Commission sets itself up for the 65th anniversary across the United States this year, the Northern California Veterans Museum will be a partner with the National Commission, and we will help to celebrate and to remember the era of Vietnam and our veterans through this program. And so as we move forward into 2020, the year 2020, we'll be working with these programs on a national level, bringing that to our community and to honor our Vietnam veterans. And we'll continue to have those men and women come into our program here with Battlefield Expressions and share their experiences, where they served, and why it's so important for us to remember the lives that were lost during the Vietnam War. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions and a fantastic Anchors Away song. I tell you what, that brings back lots of memories when I made Chief Petty Officer and we had to sing Anchors Away in front of hundreds of other chiefs and be rattled on. But learning some of those songs like that and the heritage of the United States Navy. Our guest this next hour is going to be Dave Cockrell, former Radioman Chief in the United States Navy, and we'll be talking about some of the programs that he's working with in his service to our nation. I had an individual call this last week and asked me some questions about the GI Bill. Is it still available? Do people still use the GI Bill? So I thought I'd come up with a story here and explain some of the information for you and give you some information if you're looking for opportunity to get more information on it. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt signed into law the Servicemen's Readjustment Act, known as the GI Bill of Rights. When the original legislation expired in 1956, federal payouts for college expenses, training programs, and monthly stipends had benefited 7.8 million veterans of World War II. By funneling money to veterans for tuition, living expenses, books, supplies, and equipment, the GI Bill transformed U.S. higher education across our entire nation. Before World War II, fewer than 15% of high school graduates, mainly from affluent families, earned a college degree. By 1947, veterans made up half the college enrollments. By 1950, nearly 500,000 Americans had graduated from college, compared to 160,000 in 1939. Another facet of the GI Bill provided low-interest, zero-down-payment home loans. Under this program, some 2.4 million ex-service personnel took out home loans backed by the VA, known as the Department of Veterans Affairs. One other provision of the bill was known as the 5220 Clause. All former service personnel were entitled to receive $20 a week. This is back in 1945. $20 a week for 52 weeks a year while they looked for work. Less than 20% of the money set aside for this program was distributed because many returning service personnel quickly found jobs or pursued higher education. Among the millions of Americans who used the GI Bill were leading political figures like George H.W. Bush, Gerald Ford, humorous columnist Art Buchwald, and entertainers such as Johnny Cash, Paul Newman, and Clint Eastwood. When the all-volunteer force began in 1973, veterans received benefits under the follow-on Veterans Education Assistant Program called the VEAP Program. I'm sure there's many veterans that are aware of that, and in part as an inducement to enlistment. Today, the legacy of the GI Bill continues on in the Montgomery GI Bill, named for the chief sponsor, former Representative Gillespie Sonny Montgomery, Democrat, Mississippi. And so the GI Bill still continues. Veterans home loans still continue. And if you are looking for information concerning veterans benefits, or if you're looking for GI Bill benefits or home loan benefits, you can go on the internet to va.gov.landing, the number 2, underscore business. That's va.gov.landing, 2, underscore business, B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S. If you're looking for the mobile app on your phone, which is really easy, you can go ahead and Google search mobile.va.gov/app. And that's the mobile app for the VA government website, and you can just bring it up. So it's mobile.va.gov/app. And if you're not computer literate and you don't have a cell phone, here's the phone number. So the phone number is 1-800-827-1000. That's 1-800-827-1000 for VA benefits question hotline. So there's the opportunity for you to be able to call to get information concerning a VA home loan, VA benefits as far as a GI Bill. Whether you've used yours or not, you may still be, qualified to use your GI Bill. I know that when I used my GI Bill. I used it for flying lessons, and I received my commercial helicopter license with that. And I have a VA home loan that I qualified for through using that program. And they're going to ask you for some qualifying documentation. And your qualifying documentation is called your DD-214. And that DD-214 has a page 2 and a page 4. And they're looking for that portion that shows where you served and that you have a honorable discharge. And I'm sorry to say, but I'm not sorry to say, but the fact is if you have a other than honorable discharge or you have a unhonorable a discharge, you are not qualified for these programs. And that is so important that we try to encourage our young personnel that are serving to make sure they keep their noses clean and they don't get a dishonorable discharge. They don't understand that that falls on their entire lives. They lose their house benefits. They lose their medical benefits. They lose their GI Bill benefits. And in some cases, I've seen where if you have already spent the money on education and you get a dishonorable discharge, they make you pay back all of that money for that GI Bill that you spent because you have dishonored yourself and your country. And so there's consequences when you serve in the military that you have to keep your nose clean and you have to serve honorably. And we, as taxpayers, we as Americans should expect that. If you're going to wear the uniform in the United States, we expect you to wear it honorably. And we expect you to do your job properly. The rest of us did. The rest of us had to work our butts off and keep our noses clean. And so we expect others to do the same thing and not to abuse the privileges. And so there's that information for you. If you'd like more information, you can call the museum office. And the museum office phone number is 378-2280. That's 378-2280. And we'll be glad to answer any questions you have. It might take us a day or two to get back to you because we get a lot of phone calls. But we'll do our best to answer those questions for you. Our guest this morning is we've got a few more minutes before we get going, but we're going to spend the rest of the time with them. Chief Petty Officer, retired, United States Navy, Dave Cockrell. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning there, Rob.
It's, I've had the privilege and the opportunity to know Dave since working here in our Northern California community, coming back from Iraq in 2008 and getting involved with the cemetery and AMVETS and American Legion and all of our different service organizations. We've spent hours and hours together on airplanes flying to Washington, D.C. and back to Honor Flight, Northern California, taking care of our World War II veterans. And then we're constantly working together here in our community on all different types of projects. And Dave, you're a primary supporter for the Northern California Veterans Museum. And I just right up front, I just want to say thank you for all that you do to help support the museum and also to help support all of our veterans that the museum contributes to, because you're a vital part of the success of what we do in our community. And I think it's really important to make sure we say thank you to those who help with the service of our veterans in our community.
Well, you already know why I do it. It's because of my wife, who has passed away, and it's in her honor that I do a lot of this.
And Carrie was her name.
Carrie was her name. She worked for the VA, and she always said, those are my veterans that came in there. And because of that, she was very patriotic. She supported veterans, and in her honor, I do the same thing. And that's one of the reasons. When she passed away in 2007, I took up the mantle that she had always adhered to. You know, those are her veterans. Those become mine. Excuse me.
So those are some strong words that she left with you. Words of love and commitment.
Yeah. Excuse me.
And so, once again, as we move forward with the program, you are involved in just a little bit of everything that goes on in our community as far as the veterans go. And as we go, Dave, we got just about 2 minutes here. Talk a little bit more about your wife's service, and then when we come back, we'll talk a lot about yours.
Excuse me. I get a little bit choked up sometimes.
That's okay.
She was 9 years in our Army, and she worked for the VA, and we volunteered afterwards, and I always wanted to know why. She said, these were my veterans except for one, and I found out during stand down why. He was asked to carry the flag, and he said, I'm not carrying that flag. That's when I knew the reason why, that one veteran she had issues with. Otherwise, she, being 9 years long, the reason she got out of the Army was because she was a medic, and she wanted to, enhance her career, and they wouldn't give her the school, so she went out and went to college to be a medic. And then she went to work, she had several jobs, she went to work for the VA, had a heart attack, and she could no longer work for the VA, so we volunteered for many hours as a volunteer at the VA. And when she passed, I've never been claustrophobic, but when I went into that VA, because her picture was on the wall because she was a employee of the quarter, and so the whole wall's closed in on me. But I went back and volunteered. I've been a volunteer with the VA ever since, except for my injuries or health issues, in her honor. So, and like I said, most of all, practically everything I do is because of her love for the veterans that she served during the VA.
Well, our thanks go out to you for remembering Carrie, your wife, and for her service to our nation and our country. And we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be right back.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Redding area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
I was there in the winter of 64 when we camped in the ice at Nashville's door. 300 miles our trail had led. We barely had time to bury our dead. When the Yankees charged and the colors fell, Overton Hill was a living hell. When we called retreat, it was almost dark. Died with a great shot in my heart. Say a prayer for peace for every fallen son. Set my spirit free. Let me Mother Mary, I'm so tired, but I can't come home till the last shot's fired.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. It's your talk radio. And our Battlefield Expressions today is with Dave Cockrell, United States Navy veteran. And that song, I'll tell you what, you come back from a mission and you're just so tired. You're exhausted after being on the road doing your convoys or whatever it is that you're doing. You come back in the wire and you're dragging, your rifle weighs a ton, your equipment, your flak vest, everything that you have literally weighs 120 pounds to begin with, and now it weighs like 500 pounds on your fatigued body, and your mind is tired, and you're just trying to focus on the fact that you've made it back after another mission, and you're just trying to wind yourself down, and it, sometimes you never wind down. It's just go, go, go. And we were talking to Dave Cocker this morning. Dave was a Navy veteran during Vietnam, and Dave knows those port to starboard watches, 12 on, 12 off, plus all of the other duties that are added to that. Dave, tell us a little bit about your Navy career and why you joined the Navy.
Well, the reason I joined the Navy was basically during high school, I went to a lot of summer school. I took math and English. So when it came up to past my junior year, my senior year, I only had one class, government, and they wouldn't give it to me at summer school. They wouldn't give it to me as an extracurricular. So my dad said, I'm not going to work for 8 hours while you go to school for 1 hour. And you either get a job. And we had a relatives had a ranch, a dairy farm in the Scott Valley area, with Etna. And that was filled. So my next choice was join the Navy. So I spent a 1925 standing Liberty quarter, riled the bus from San Leandro to Hayward, took the test. I must have been about 16. Of course, then I had to have the recruiter come out the house, and the recruiter says, why didn't you let this kid finish high school? I mean, he scored higher than some college students. And my dad sat there and said, he doesn't do any homework. He doesn't study. He just doesn't pay attention. Teachers want to fail him, but he writes B's on the finals where A students fail it. I says, this kid isn't applying himself. So the best thing he can do is join the Navy.
Perception is reality.
So that's how I joined the Navy. But, of course, no one knew that I couldn't see beyond my arm. I looked at every people by how they carried themselves. Not that I was blind. I was in a constant fog my whole life, practically. And it wasn't until I went to B school that I realized I needed glasses. I went from a struggle.
You went to the whole boot camp without glasses?
Boot camp, A school, my first enlistment without glasses. And when I took the B school, I was struggling, 80, 85. I said, man, this stuff's easy. Why am I? That's when I noticed the chief had double eagles on his collar, lapel. And so I went down and found out I had astigmatism. During the afternoon, I couldn't hardly see. So I was listening and hearing. But when I put the glasses on, I immediately went from 80-85 to I was acing tests.
It's a whole
new world. I couldn't believe it. I remember walking out of the optometrist and putting glasses on. I says, there's people down there. I took them off, and I was back in my fog. I says, no one can see that good. I could not believe that I was that nearsighted.
Deficient with your eyesight.
Right. So anyway, I joined the Navy through boot camp, and they said, you want to go to school? I said, no, I'm done with school. Well, of course, scoring high in radio and, like, you know, math, they made me a radioman. And radio is where you learn Morse code. I had trouble copying Morse code. Electronics and administrative, I was really high 90s. Morse code, I didn't realize you're supposed to copy behind. I copied 16 words a minute, fell asleep, and copied it perfect. I wasn't seeing the dots and dashes. I was actually reading words in Morse code. It's hard for you to understand that, but
no,
I didn't see.
I had to learn my Morse code when I got my first radio operator's license as a pilot back in 1977. You still had to learn Morse code at that time.
Yeah, so, yes, I was asleep copying it, but I was reading it. I mean, it wasn't the dots and dashes. It was actually words coming across. So, anyway, from there, I went to Guam, and the airports did not have a communication station, so they augmented the Navy. And I just happened to go into the Air Force section. So I was trained by two Air Force sergeants. One was Sergeant Franklin. The other one was Sergeant T. I couldn't remember pronounce his name there then. But they really impressed me about their knowledge. So I learned from the Air Force that knowledge was power. So I learned practically everything I could any base I went to. And I guess that sort of hindered me in the long run, and I'll explain later. But anyway, I really respected the Air Force sergeants for what they taught. I found out they were specialists, though. If you were a SEN operator, because this is a tape relay. If you're a SEN operator, you only sent tape. You didn't distribute it. On a tape relay, you received it by tape. Then you have people that actually would carry it to different stations, and then you'd send it out TD to different stations. Well, I learned that if I learned how to read the tape, the holes, I didn't have to be in the pit where the receivers were, because these guys would be in with it. I mean, the tape was tore up to their knees.
Oh, yeah, it was just piles of
piles,
them.
And they'd have to monitor it and then put it in. So I learned, if I learned to read it, I didn't have to be in the pit.
So for people that are listening, when back in the original time frame when we were receiving these through tape, you say the tape was like a ticker tape machine.
Right.
It spits out a ticker tape. The tape comes out and has perforations in it, and the code or the words are in the code on the perforations on
right.
the paper. And it was quite a process. It was before computers.
Right. It was only, and then because I could read it so fast, they put me on the segregator, which did 750 words a minute. I wasn't reading. I was seeing patterns. So, like, if I learned how to make words in the tape, like if I wanted to spell your name just so you could read it in the holes, I would be letter YYR, space, not space, but a blank, CZZC, and I would spell out Rob. And kids thought that was really impressive because they hold up the tape and they see the holes. They actually be able to read their name.
Right.
But if you printed it, it would be garbage.
But,
yeah. But because I was able to read it at this high speed, the chief says, you're going to be the 73 Victor operator from now on, because you could actually see this stuff as it went through. I'll just, like, you know.
You kind of set your own destiny when you kind of told people certain things.
Yeah. So anyway, from Guam, after learning that, I, of course, went to board ship. That was Chief Riley. And he asked, he says, are you going to go up third class? Well, I had trouble copying code because I hadn't heard it for over a year. I said, no, I'm not staying in this canoe club. I'm getting out. He says, work detail. So I went on the work detail. The next day, he says, you're going up, you're going to be a supervisor. You can't make me a supervisor. I'm only a seaman. I was a seaman over 3 years. You know, I only had about 7 months more to go in the Navy for my four-year clip. He says, nope, you're going to be a supervisor. I'm a chief. I don't, you got E5s. It doesn't matter. You know enough to be a D5. So you go on a work detail. So I went on a work detail. The next day he says, you going to go up for E4? What's the work detail, chief? It's loading ammunition. Up, when's the test? So I copied the last broadcast from San Francisco on their broadcast, copying code so that I could go up for E4. So I made E4, I made E5. Make an E5, I didn't make the first increment. And the chief says, well, what happened? I said, well, I don't know. The test was easy. And the other second class, he made the first increment. And so the next day, chief comes up and says, you're out of uniform, sailor. So what do you mean I'm out of uniform? He says, you scored so high, the Bureau pulled your test. Oh, okay. So that, I went to, from there I went to B school. And, of course, B school teaches you electronics and how to troubleshoot. That's 9 months. And from there, I went to Mare Island, and I almost made the honor list. There's only about 10 people that made over 90% in that school, and I missed it by 5 questions. If they had given me the extra half hour they gave the other person that took the test, I would have made that board. That's how high my score. The chief couldn't believe I only missed 1 question out of 85.
Wow.
But the last 15, I guess, that I
well, did. Well, I just go back to the fact that if you had had glasses as a kid, you'd probably be a nuclear physicist or something by
know.
Now. I mean, you just...
But anyway, so after that, I went to the Mare Island to get more electronics. And then I went to the Philippines. And because I guess I was pretty sharp in electronics, one of the E8s said, oh, these radiomen, they aren't know nothing about electronics. And one of the guys says, what about Cockrell? Oh, he is no radioman. He's an electrician or whatever. But, I had really, I guess, I don't know, electronics was easy for me. They had me working on other equipment. And what happened was in the Philippines was, when Nixon was coming through, well, I had worked all night on electronic equipment, which wasn't mine, it was someone else's, but I had to troubleshoot their gear and I was working on that. Said, oh, man, I'm going to have Monday off. They're going to let me have it. And the chief says, grab your toolbox. You're going to be flown to the embassy. Oh, pick one of these other guys. You're going. Oh, geez. Okay, so I got my toolbox. They flew me over by helicopter. 5 minutes. Landed on the embassy. Of course, I hadn't taken a shower.
I've been to the embassy at Philippine Island, yeah. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
So I'm stuck on the thing. I walk in there. There's a Air Force guy. He's typing. I said, you don't need an operator. You need a break?
No, 1 minute.
Okay. You need an operator. Oh, you're an operator? Yeah. I'm a radioman. I can type about 85 words a minute. And then tell the guys working, you don't need a teletype repairman. Oh, you don't need a crippler repair. You got a guy, he says, you're a crippler? Yeah, I see toolbox. Then they got a, because I was aboard ship, I learned to be a controller. And so I says, you don't need a guy controller, monitor the signals. You're that too? I says, yeah, aboard ship, we can't call no one. So then I realized why they sent me. But the worst part, the Air Force left at 4 o'clock. I'm stuck on the embassy in dungarees. I can't leave the embassy because I'm in dungarees.
You're not dress uniform.
Right. So I go, and they have the Liberty launch, and I go over there, and he's, of course, a seaman or a third class. I'm an E6. He says, you can't ride the Liberty launch in dungarees. Hey, wait a second. See toolbox? I'm on duty. I got to get back to the base. You can't ride the – because, coxswain, they're in charge of the boat, irregardless of what rank they are. And
we'll find out more about that in just a minute. We're going to take a break.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Similar to Kawasaki disease and toxic shock syndrome, Westchester County health officials say they're investigating the death of a 7-year-old boy who tested positive a month ago for the coronavirus and had the antibodies when he died. I'm Julie Walker.
U.S. health officials have revoked permission for masks made by more than 60 Chinese manufacturers that failed to meet U.S. standards.
The Food and Drug Administration warned this week that the faulty masks could endanger healthcare workers treating patients with COVID-19. Due to shortages of masks, the FDA authorized imports based on testing data from the manufacturers. But U.S. officials reported that new testing in the U.S. showed dozens of the Chinese masks failed to filter particles at the level needed to adequately protect workers. The agency said only 14 masks met U.S. standards. Keith Peters, Washington.
Republican Senator Rob Portman of Ohio says modern technology makes it possible for the Senate, when necessary, to conduct official business remotely. That includes casting votes.
There are ways to do that. And by the way, other states and governments are doing it, including the U.K., including the European Union.
Senator Portman told the Salem Radio Network technology allows for multiple authentications. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-555-2085. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-555-2085. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-555-2085. 800-555-2085.
The family of a cruise crew member who died after testing positive for COVID-19 has filed a lawsuit against Royal Caribbean Cruises.
The family says the company failed to protect its employees as the pandemic ravaged sailings around the world. The wrongful death case filed in circuit court in Miami says a 27-year-old Indonesian man worked in housekeeping on the Symphony of the Seas and suffered from flu-like symptoms, including a fever and shortness of breath, but was not tested for 6 days. He disembarked in a lifeboat and was taken to a hospital in Fort Lauderdale.
That is correspondent Jeremy House reporting. NASCAR's revised 2020 Cup schedule eliminates 3 major races as the circuit attempts to restart its season. NASCAR has canceled races at Richmond Raceway, Chicagoland Speedway, and Sonoma Speedway. NASCAR does plan to race at Darlington Raceway in South Carolina on May 17th. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Another judicial nominee coming from President Trump.
The president has nominated a federal magistrate who formerly worked as a prosecutor and public defender to fill a judicial vacancy in Hampton Roads. The White House has announced the nomination of U.S. Magistrate Judge Roderick Young to a district judgeship opening in the Eastern District of Virginia. Young has served as a magistrate since 2014 and is based in Richmond. Young's nomination will be subject to consideration by the Senate Judiciary Committee. It will also need to be confirmed by the full Senate. John Scott reporting.
At least 70% of U.S. Olympic sports organizations have applied for government funding during the pandemic. The Associated Press surveyed 44 of the country's national governing bodies. All but four of the 36 bodies that responded said that they had applied for assistance from the Paycheck Protection Program, the one that was passed as part of the CARES Act. More details at townhall.com.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that is Billy Joel's Goodnight Saigon. And it is kind of talks about the chaos of going through boot camp and then being sent into the combat zone and the chaos of the combat zone in Vietnam during that time frame. And I've always liked that song because Billy Joel just screams out the passion of kind of the chaos that took place. And it's, you can transfer that chaos into other war zones, but that was for that time frame. Once again, you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio program. And this portion of the radio and service for Battlefield Expressions is brought to you by Foster's Brush Hog Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing fire compliance services and fire breaks, after storm cleanup, and removal of waste left over from transients. Once again, they do tree service, they do brush service, they do high grass services. They take care of all those issues that you have right now. It's a good time to get those fields plowed or get things taken care of. If we don't get some more rain, we're going to be in the middle of another drought. And if you're proactive with tractor service and you get that taken care of ahead of time, then you'll be able to knock out that stuff out while it's 4 inches high instead of 12, 18, 2 feet high, 4 feet high, where it's all of a sudden it's a fire hazard overnight. So be proactive. Give Brush Hog Services, Foster's Brush Hog Services, a call. Keith Foster, 440-9531. That's 440-9531. He can do a job for you, locally owned, operated right here in Anderson, California. And he supports our Veterans Museum programs. His father is a Korean War Navy veteran. And so thank you, Keith, for being a part of this program and helping to sponsor Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again this morning is Dave Cockrell, Radioman Chief, served during Vietnam, and he's talking about service during Vietnam right now in the Philippine Islands and some of the services he did there. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. To continue this story, it's a 45-minute ride from the embassy to the base, Sangley Point. So he goes back, the coxswain goes back, and then he comes back, and now we're talking about an hour and a half. We're about 6 o'clock now. Remember, I haven't had a shower, haven't had any sleep. And I said, can I ride the boat now? No, you can't ride it in dungarees. They're sending a special boat. They sent a Mike boat, an hour and a half from Sangley to Embassy, in an hour and a half. So it wasn't until 8 or 9 o'clock before I got back. Do you think I like the Air Force? So anyway.
So explain to people what the difference between a Mike boat and a Liberty boat is.
Liberty boat's like a launch. Liberty boat's a launch.
Kind of like a captain's gig.
Yes, kind of like a captain's gig. And, how can I say this?
A Mike boat's a landing craft.
Landing craft, yes, where you can put jeeps or tanks or people.
And it does like five knots.
Five knots.
That's it. I mean, that's all it does. It's like a tugboat.
I mean, and then I went one trip there. They took me by crash boat, and that was 15 minutes. And, of course, I heard about all the things. So, anyway, about, you know, saving pilots, one of the individuals was, on the crash boat. So, now I'm qualified as being a communications controller. I have electronics behind me, and I have I had to learn the stock system, because I had to learn to look up parts for electronics. I knew a little about teletype, and, of course, I could read the tape. So now they sent me to Yakaya. That's where I was supposed to go, Yakaya. And it's independent duty. In order to go to independent duty, you have to go through instructor school. So I went through instructor school to learn how to be a teacher, instructor. And because it's independent duty, I had to go through a personnel school. Because in case the base did not have a yeoman or personnelman, I had to know how to do records.
They don't even have a yeoman anymore position.
No. But no, that I had to know. I had to know personnel records and how to do their record. So they changed my order because you kind of closed to Redding, California. So here I am stationed in Redding, California as an instructor. And no one really knew that we had a base here in Redding. It was Naval Electronics Reserve Facility up by the National Guard Armory, and I served with...
By Benton Air Park.
Yes, and I served with Sergeant Farmer, Army. So I learned about the Army, and I would participate downtown, and one of the businesses sat there and says, "Hi, Commander," and he called me Commander, and I says, "Jim, I'm not, you know..." He says, "You're in the Navy," and they said, "Oh, you're a recruiter." I says, "No, I'm not a recruiter. I'm an instructor." What do you instruct here in Reading? And he sat there and said, "Oh, he serves on the submarine." What submarine? The submarine is tours Shasta Dam. They go down and investigate the tubes. "Oh, you can't be here in the Navy. You must be a recruiter." "I'm not a recruiter." And I had to show my ID card. And so they said, "You are in the Navy. You're actually stationed here?" I says, "Yeah, at a base. Yes." Yeah, so he had to be convinced that there's a submarine out there in Shasta Lake. You know, this is early 70s. So, going from Reading, I went aboard, one of the ships. Mount Katmai. And, of course, I served now with the Army, and now here I'm a qualified instructor. I understand records. One thing I did do in Reading was I developed a counseling program. And the counseling program, which they adopted in Sacramento, was the fact that when you took a test, they had different codes on how you what the subjects were.
Right.
So I would look up those codes, and I would make a study program. Like if you were going to take a test and
yes.
you didn't pass it, I would tell you, these are the subjects you'd have to study.
I had one of those books, so that was you that designed that, huh?
Well, I don't know if I but anyway, it was one of the counselings that I started. It was a whole program that I started, and Sacramento was so they were so enthused about how I laid this thing out that they had one of my reservists copy it on his 2-week. He was so mad. They didn't give you any credit, and you did all this. I said, well, it doesn't matter. Look at the knowledge and everything that I got. So anyway, I went to the Mount Katmai, and they had two. That was an ammunition ship. It went back to Vietnam because the Turtuk was in Vietnam. And they had too many E-6s. There was, and so they said, well, we need operations needs to have someone go down to Mestak Master Arms. And they couldn't get keep a Master Arms. So they made me a Master Arms. So I went down to became a Master Arms. And because I was a Mestak Master Arms, they sent me to pest control school. So now
you went to pest control school for Master of Arms.
Yes, I was master.
Military police.
No, what? No, actually, it's the Mestaks. I was in charge of the Mestaks. So yeah, so I know how to get rid of rats and cockroaches and that. And when I went to that school, they sat there. What do you do? Lose your clearance? No, they didn't have anyone else to set, so they sent me. So from
so you had top security taking care of rats and cockroaches.
Yes, top
security.
Top security. So what happened then? Was the ship was being decommissioned because when we came back to the States, and one of the Raymonds wanted to go to teletype school, and he said, I don't want to go to teletype school. I'll go. So I went to teletype school. So meanwhile, here I am, teletype school, and, of course, already having some experience and knowing how to read tape. That was a breeze, and having electronics. I mean,
that was, it all fell in place.
It fell in place.
Yeah. It's all in the same room.
Yeah, so I was sitting there, they wouldn't let you have special liberty because it was supposed to be 12 weeks and there was only 9. So
we're going to take a break real quick, Dave.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk more about RM, Radio Man.
Yeah, if I copied code at all.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
The Fat Bull and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Fat Bull and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Dave Cockrell, United States Navy during Vietnam. And Dave, we played that song just for you in the Navy because of all the technology and learning and everything else that you're going through. And so, good morning again, and tell us a little bit about your service in the Navy during Vietnam.
Okay. One of the things that's happening, of course, right now, you know, I'm a controller, electronics, repair cryptoman, personnelman, pest control, sergeant at arms. The other thing I didn't explain, I was trained and operate satellites. I was a satellite operator. I went to station and learned Audubon. Audubon, there's only two entities in the military that have Audubon. This is automatic voice network, and that's where you work with satellite, Transpac, other stations. I worked with Clark. I worked with Director of Communications Agency, Pacific, and through Washington. So Transpac is where all the signals come in, and only Greece and Guam have military control. Well, Greece is Air Force. Guam happens to be Navy. And there's only four people on the island, the Navy people, that know Audubon, because we're in four sections. I'm on one section. Well, during Vietnam, when it was failing, I just happened to be on watch. And normally, it's quiet. You like work with signals with Transpac, or that's your cable head, and then, or satellite. Of course, now you know I'm a satellite operator, so I understand satellite.
Like early days of satellite.
Right. So anyway, we have to do what's called restorals. And you would normally would go in there, the guy would come in, the patch panel would be clear. I mean, nothing on it. When I got done, it looked like they threw spaghetti on there. I had to call over tech control for assistance. They come over and they shook the chief, said, he just shook his shoulders and said, we don't know what you're doing. I says, start writing what I'm doing. I had a teletype going. I had seven phones off the hook. I had two on speaker. I was working with DCA PAC. I was working with Clark. I was working with the Philippines. I was working with...
That's Clark Air Base, right?
Clark Air Force yeah. Base. Andrews Air Force Base, which was on Guam. I was working with all these stations doing restorals, bypassing Vietnam. So everything I did, it took me about 4 hours, I think, to type up after my watch what I had done, because you have to log all this.
Well, you said when Vietnam was failing, was that during the fall of Saigon?
Right.
So you basically were doing your bypassing communication because it was being captured in Vietnam during
right.
the time frame.
Right. So the most exciting thing I did, other than that, was I was told by DCA PAC to seize this line. And so you can monitor. I'm monitoring. I can do anything I want because I'm actually the head area. So I get on there. There's two admirals talking. And I go on. This is a Guam technician. I've been ordered by DCA PAC to preempt this line. You have 15 seconds to tell your party to hang up and reinitiate. And so this admiral, he's telling the others, George, we have to hang up because they're going to preempt the line. And they hear in the background, it says, how can you preempt a flash override? Click.
you overrode it right then.
I just seized the line because it's automatic. I just cut their line by putting in the patch what they asked for. So, yes, I was able to preempt a flash override.
And 2 4-star admirals.
Yes, two admirals. So, anyway, the other thing that happened was, now Vietnam is no longer, we don't have signals going through Vietnam. We can't really monitor them. Well, we were having problems with one of the ships. They were trying to communicate, and this is long haul. And, of course, they're in West Pac, and we're in Guam. Of course, Guam's in West Pac, but we're talking several thousand miles away.
Right.
And they're trying to coordinate with, let's say, Clark or San Miguel. And he's having problems. I said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll try to find something for you. So I put a line signal through one of the dead lines in Vietnam, and I asked Clark if they got it. They said, yes, we got it, but it's slow. We can't troubleshoot it because it's going through a line that
right.
doesn't exist.
So the patch in Vietnam was still connected.
Yeah, they blew up the cable head, but that's probably one of the lines that didn't go. So I said, I'm going to set you some tones, and I want you to put them to San Miguel. So I got the guy's package, and I set it down this line, and I said, do not report this. If you report this, you're going to probably lose it. So they reported it. And I got called over to Tech Control, and I look on the Tech Control order wire from DCA, Director of Communication Pacific, says, how can you preempt this Alpha 1 circuit? I says, I didn't preempt no Alpha 1 circuit. Says, well, you all around that somewhere else. This circuit that they're talking about is not only priority one, I mean, it's a big one. Reportal probably the President of the United States. And I says, I didn't preempt that. I told him what I did. And then you see on the order, DCA Washington, do you see what he did? It comes back DCA Washington. If he found a line going through Vietnam that wasn't used, more power to him. And I looked at the leading first class and says, well, you better get ready to re-route it. I'm going to be pulling that patch. And he says, you pull that patch, I'm going to put you on report. I said, start writing me up. I walked over to Audubon and right on the order wire, DCA pack, you pull those tones and you put this circuit up on there. I said, I called over at Tech Control. He says, this is a pro, you ready for me to sign the report? I'm pulling them for DCA pack. I told him not to report it. But anyway, that was some of the stuff that I did and found out.
Well, it was interesting to me that you were on watch at the time during the fall of Saigon.
The fall of Saigon.
And that you were, I mean, you're instrumental in taking care of the communications through that area at that time. How unique in the opportunity that we have you as a guest that was actually there during that time for me at that particular critical moment in our national history and the history of Vietnam.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize audio. They didn't understand the audio portion of it because most of the quality controls were signals, but they weren't with satellite or they weren't with a transpac, and that's where I was working right next to Ma Bell, and I learned from the ICEM and how the wire and all that. So
what were some of your other experiences that you had to deal with through the Navy with your service with Vietnam? I know they sent you over there in your dress blues, wasn't it? Or your dress whites during that time frame into the country at that time?
Oh, no, that was aboard ship you're talking about. When I was aboard ship, they needed to have a messenger to the admiral. And this was the USS Currituck. And they called me up the Radio Shack and said, do you have a uniform? Clean uniform? I said, I have an inspection uniform. He says, well, put it on, dress blues. So I said, I'll put on my dress blues. And I said, I don't know what the admiral looks like. He says, well, it's his picture's on the quarter deck. So I look, there's the admiral's picture and that. So I get, they give me a briefcase, and I get escorted by two Marines. I don't know where I am. I went by one of the things. I said, what is that building? He says, well, it's the old French quarters. And then all I remember is this big mounds and two big guns sticking out. And they said, look for the ugliest plane there is, the seaplane, on dry land. So the Marines, they escorted me to there. And, you know, I like to say, and I learned this from Honor Flight. When we did an Honor Flight, that it takes about 20 people, that non-combatants to supply those that are in combat. And I didn't issue those two Marines their paycheck or their rifles or do that Jeep that they put me on. I was just a messenger. And, yes, I found the admiral. What's the one thing, and I hate to say this, what's the one thing you're not supposed to do in the war zone?
You salute.
What? What was that?
Salute.
And here it is. This is Tom Patrol 4th, 7th Fleet. And, of course, I saluted him because he's an admiral. I'm only a seaman. I don't know nothing. Well, you know, all the officers' mouths dropped open, and none of these officers had any uniforms. And I says, man, I can quote the admiral. I can quote the admiral. What did you actually said? Says, who in the hell sent you? End of quote.
End of quotes.
End of quote. And so I learned later that you weren't supposed to salute, but I didn't know. They didn't warn me. They just said, deliver this message. And he's an admiral, obviously. But what?
Yeah. Thanks, Chief, for preparing me for this mission here.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my one experience being in a war combat zone, doing something you're not supposed to be doing.
And then you're taking care of your communications also. During
oh,
the
that was, so. Yeah. So, actually, I had more, one of the things, okay, I'll come back.
No, 1 minute.
1 minute?
Keep going.
Oh, well, you want me to keep, okay. The other thing is, a lot of radio men, I went through what was called 3M coordinator, inspecting school. So, I'm an inspector of communications equipment. And not a lot of radiomen get that. I got that when I was on, because I was a teletype repairman, and I knew electronics. I could talk to electronics, talk to telepipe. So anyway, I'm aboard ship, and I kept on telling the commander that we can only do this much maintenance, because I'm trained in this. And he says, I'm in trouble with XO. Now, this leads into Sadesky when he was the VA. We can come back on that.
Yeah, we will come back on that. And we're going to go ahead and take a break right now. When we come back, we're also going to talk about your position with the AMVETS and also the American Legion.
Oh, I'm going to come into that.
We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading. Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more. The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
So what's scorecard scribblings all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Talk about it anymore. He kept a picture of my mama right by his heart. He gave it one last look before the fighting would start. He said, all I ask is that you don't forget, 'cause the war's not over when the fighting ends. There's a part of me
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And our guest this morning is Dave Cockrell, United States Navy's chief retired radioman. And Dave, you've been talking about your naval career and all the things you've been doing. We just talked about some of the service for you. One of your stories about being in Vietnam and dealing with the admirals. And so you are well-connected here in our community with the different organizations, the AMVETS and American Legion. I know you want to finish your final story there with the commander, and then we'll talk about your service in our community, about things that are going on in our community that people probably don't know about that we should explain to them.
All right. Well, one of the other education I have is what's called 3M Coordinator School, and that's where you go out and inspect. Not only teletype, but you inspect electronics, you inspect aspects, and you actually have to make up the program and do all the planning. So I went to that school, so I understood the whole program. When I got aboard ship, no one really knew I was a 3M coordinator. although that I had the job code. So my commander sat there and says, hey, we got to get this equipment. Well, I'm the pre-com coordinator, the LPO, and 3M, the coordinator for our maintenance.
The 3Ms. What were the 3Ms right. again?
3M. It's material management. Maintenance, I think, is what management maintenance. And that's where you actually document everything. And I told him, we can only do this much. He says, well, I'm in trouble with XO. Everyone else is 100%, and we're only 70. I says, sir, this is all we can do. I'm telling you, this is it. And he was constantly in trouble with XO. Well, ComNav SurfPak came through and inspected our facility and says, well, you're the cleanest ship we've seen. And your maintenance. Well, when we got done, the captain was really, he secured old Liberty. Now, this is when I was chief petty officer. And the commander came out and he says, man, I'm the only one that's not in the being chewed out. He says, because we got 68% done. We went from 70 to 68. The ones that were 100, I think deck was 69. Went top from 100 to 69. All the other ones were down to 40. And he says, I'm the only one not being then chewed out by the XO. And the XO, I mean, the captain, and the captain secured all Liberty. He was pissed. Well, so I understand the reason why, because he was fed false information. Other things happened where we were able to take over Liberty. But I understand what happened in 2014 when the American Legion was a big one that said that the VA director had to be fired. And the reason was he was being fed wrong information. Out of all the veterans organizations, only the American Legion said, enough is enough. You got to correct all these problems. And all of them said, give them more time. And I thought to myself, didn't anyone read Reader's Digest April 2010 when the Reader's Digest reported all these problems and nothing had been corrected? The person in charge has to take the blunt of the whole thing. Per Sadesky, he got the blunt of the whole thing. People were feeding him wrong. So I understand it because that's what happened to our captain. I admire the American Legion for being the big shot this afternoon and said, enough is enough. The VA has to be changed. And that's where you saw the big change start in the VA.
Too many people were sweeping it under the carpet. Nobody wanted to accept that responsibility.
Right. And it was the American Legion that was the forerunner that sat there and said, oh, you know, the big one. The elder one said, give them more time. Yeah, I think it was National Commander Dillinger sat there and said, no, Dillon, I think it's Dillon, says, no, they need to change it. Enough is enough.
And some of that, right here in California, some of those issues with the VA, I mean, one of the deals that came back to us through Congressman LaMalfa's office and Aaron Ryan was that they, when they invested the VA in Oakland, they were finding closets of records and things of veterans who had passed away because their records were stuck in a closet and nobody did a follow through. The veterans were dishonored, they were disrespected. The VA representatives and the employees that were there at that time were skating on their jobs and they would just throw. It's like the guy that's supposed to deliver mail and you go home, go to his house and his garage is full of mail. Yeah. It's the same thing that was happening with the VA. Is the closets were full of VA claims and everything else that were never touched, never taken care of. And those Vietnam veterans, Desert Storm veterans, you name it, they were all Korean War veterans. They were disgraced because of how the VA was operated during that time frame.
There are three entities of the VA. There's VAB, which is the benefits, and that's what you're talking about. There's the health benefits, VAH. That's the health. That's what we get our health from, the VA. And then there's the cemeteries. So there's three entities, and the one you're talking about is VBA, and that the benefits that VAB, I think it is, and that's the benefits. That's the one that did it in Oakland. I knew of a case where a lady just had it. She had to call Oakland and said, where's my claim? And he says, well, it's in Washington, D.C. And she called Washington. It's not there. So she had to call them back. Just a second. The American Legion in Oakland had to go, I think, the VA, says, where is this claim? And they found it sitting in a, like you said, and he had to come back and say, hey, they didn't process it.
Yeah, I've had multiple people come to me and say, look, we put in three or four claims. We put in four or five claims. We've worked on this for a year or two. We're tired. We just don't want to do it anymore. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. You can't stop because somebody on the other end has decided to be negligent in their job or derelict in what their duties are with the VA. You have to constantly be calling them. You have to constantly be writing them. You have to constantly be in that. Another issue is with a veteran's widow that we helped here in our community. She and her daughter has submitted the claim for widow's combat benefits multiple times, and they were declined every time. We went back through. We helped them with Silver Star Veterans Widows Program, and the second time we adjusted it, she received the services that she was supposed to have, and she was able to be able to keep her house and her car and other things because those benefits came through. You have to continue to go up against the fight. And we should not have these issues with our VA in our nation, let alone our California state or in our local communities. But it's there.
Yeah, I understand.
And so you have to continue to fight the fight in order to make sure you get the benefits. It's a nature of the beast.
I think I'm trying to think. Oh, I was never a favorite of the CHOICE program. Because the CHOICE program, that's where the veteran actually made a choice to go out of the VA, and the VA was no longer tracking it. And the American Legion was basically against that. It wasn't against the veteran going outside. It was the idea that they explained it wasn't good for all veterans because some veterans would fall through the crack. And we had one individual here in Reading that's exactly what happened. He didn't understand the CHOICE program, and it came back to bite him. And I'm glad they went to the Mission Act. The Mission Act's now where you actually make the appointment for outside through the VA. Irregardless of what TriWest says, it's the VA that makes the appointment. And that way they're tracking it now, and they have criteria that where they have to be paid within 30 days. So the Mission Act, which is now in effect as of June, and there's other benefits starting with the Mission Act, I think pre 75, I forget what it is. My mind is gone.
Well, the other thing also, Dave, is we have multiple organizations across our nation and in our communities that are veterans organizations, such as the American Legion, the VFW, the American Veterans Organization, the DAV, Disabled Veterans. And you say, why should I join one of these organizations? Well, number one is when you join your funding goes to help fight in Congress with lobbyists for the veterans organization so you keep your benefits all across the board. The other thing is that particular organization may not be able to answer all of your questions, but you're with like-minded veterans who are part of the program, and everybody knows somebody who knows something. And so by being involved with these other veterans and the organizations, you are subjected to information where you can ask questions and get answers to where you can finally get to where you need to be. Just like with Homeward Bound and with Silver Star Veterans Widows Program here in our community, we want to be a solution solver, a go-to opportunity to help solve these problems that our veterans are having. And I have widows come to me all the time with requests because their husband passed and they don't know what their benefits are. And so we're constantly trying to help those individuals in our community. And nobody gets all of the word. That's why the American Legion and AMVETS and these organizations that you're working with are so key. They're so important.
I know for a fact that they have stuck up for our benefits because I'm one of the persons that benefit from it. If they had not gone to combat for me, I would have lost benefits. To me, it would have just affected a small portion. But other veterans, it would have devastated them. So,
and every veteran is important, whatever their needs are. I mean, we can't let any of them fall through the cracks.
It is important for the veterans out there to join a veterans organization. Even if you cannot participate at the time, your voice matters. The American Legion, and a lot of people don't know that our post, Shasta Post 197, has been here for over 100 years.
Yeah, 1919.
We don't have our original charter. I just know that we have two commanders in 1920. This March 7th, we're going to try to celebrate, and I'm probably going to do it later on also. But we want the community to know we've been here for 100 years, and a lot of the things we do. Now, one of the things that is just passed by the American Legion is called the Legion Act. The Legion Act was supposed to honor the 600 individuals that died during the Cold War. And that was passed by Congress to accept it, so that actually changed the charter of the American Legion for the second or third time. Now anyone who served honorably after December 7th, 1941, is eligible for the American Legion. And that was put in effect to honor those 600 that died during the Cold War. even though we were at war, Congress actually recognized it until then. And I think the GI Bill was written on hotel stationery by one of the National Legion's commanders. That was presented to Congress, and then, of course, like you said, the GI Bill was passed. So the American Legion has been effective throughout this whole time, and we will talk about some of the things we just done recently from which you were a part of, the community, which was actually community service as well as helping a veteran.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon here, Toastmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Don't be left watching Netflix reruns this summer. Use your screen time to future-proof your career with a degree or certificate from Shasta College. One of the best investments you can make is your education. So take the first step today. Summer classes start June 8th and enrollment is happening now. High school students, summer is the perfect time to pick up some college credits. With no tuition costs and enrollment is now completely online. Call 242-7500 or go online to shastacollege.edu/apply.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Called him Sandy Kane. You folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he. Left a boy, came back a man. Still many just don't understand about the reasons we are free. Can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried. He said these words to me. All gave some,
Some gave all. Some stood through for the red, white, and blue, and some had to fall. And if you ever think of me, think of all your liberties and recall.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We're in our last segment. Our guest is Dave Cockrell, and Dave's former Navy chief, and he is right now one of the leaders of the American Veterans AMVETS organization here and also our American Legion program, and he's involved in just everything that seems to be going on in, for our veterans in our community. Dave, we're talking about one of the programs here in, with the American Legion and also what we're doing in the community to help some of our veterans.
Yeah. One of the things that I think I went into the Navy with as a high school dropout, but I got an education. One of the lieutenants I was serving with, because he was a CMS custodian, which I, was another school I went to, he says, the only difference between me and you, Chief, is I went to high college for basket weaving. I thought that was kind of a good compliment. Here he's talking to a high school dropout. Anyway, one of the things we do in the community, and this is Shasta Post 197, not only does the Shasta Post and AMVETS Post, local post, support the local stand down, but community service and going out to the doing education for kids. We do Boys State for American Legion Baseball, a lot of stuff for communication, oratorical contest. This is all to help the community. It's good for the community, good for the students, good for the whole the country itself. But to, what we did just recently in the community with Rob's help and medicine for our military, which is Blue's Crew, was, I think, amazing. We had support from Shasta County Sheriff and the community itself. And what we did is we went out, and then Blue had a crew of about 13 to 15 people there, not counting Rob and I, and some of them stayed overnight at this house to try to clean it up. And we took, oh, Bob knows, we took over 3 tons from the property itself, is including the house, to the dump.
And this is a veteran's house, and what happened is this veteran had some drug people come in and inundate his house, and they moved in. They wouldn't leave, and they left all their paraphernalia and all of their trash and everything else inside this facility. Through Blue's Crew and the American Legion, we went in there, and they were removed. These druggy people were removed from the house, from the veteran that couldn't get them out. And basically, it was an interjection where we went in and removed the threat. We removed the hostile people and the drug dealers so the veteran could have his house back to himself. He was kind to these people, and they inundated his house. They took over like cockroaches.
Wow.
And so we've got these people out of there through the proper law and the proper responsibilities. And then we cleaned and cleaned and cleaned all the trash and needles and drug paraphernalia and everything else. And like Dave said, we hauled 5 trailer loads of trash to the dump. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, and then also 2 trailer loads of scrap metal and old broken out bicycles and food carts.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable. I didn't really go in the house. I got reported that it was stacked all the way to the ceiling. You couldn't even see the bedrooms. They were shoveling it out there, and I have to put out a word for medicine for our military Blue's Crew. It isn't just a lot of people think it's just marijuana, and that isn't the true thing. This is part of what they do. What is good for the medicine could be how to make a veteran feel better. It could be anything that does it. It's not just this. You know, they've been blamed for doing just marijuana, and that isn't the case. This is part of it. This is about the third project that I know have been involved with that Blue has actually taken crew out to do something for a veteran with the help of the American Legion. So that's one of the things we do. And this is a community project. The community were coming by, the people are coming by thanking Blue for being there to cleaning this thing up.
Well, yes, this was on Second Street in Cottonwood, and we had people coming from the Cottonwood community organizations there and from the Chamber of Commerce and everything else saying, these people have been a druggie house. They took over this guy's home. It's amazing how these individuals can come in and take over and not allow that individual to get them out. And even through some of the law enforcement wasn't able to take care of that. It took people in the community to do the intervention to help remove, I'll call them parasites because that's what they are, out of the situation and help this veteran back to take control of his life again. You know, sometimes people get into a position in their life where they allow people to come in to try to help and these people manipulate and take over and they aren't helping, they're manipulating.
So anyway, I have to thank Blue and his crew. Doug and Pamela, they stayed overnight. I think Doug stayed there, four days?
He's a disabled Afghanistan veteran.
Yes, and he stayed there to prevent them from coming back in.
Right.
And that's, they stopped and Blue stopped. I don't know how, I guess the sheriff stopped several cars.
And the Cottonwood militia was also doing some overwatch to make sure that they weren't coming back in also.
So again, with the help of Medicine for our military and Shasta County Sheriff, you, Bob, borrowing my trailer, but I mean, that was, how many loads? Five?
Five loads to the dump, yeah. And thank you to Waste Management. They helped to accept those items without charging the
Asian
or the Homeward Bound program. And so, because there's a lot of veterans that serve out there, they help service in the community also to take care of some of these trash issues. Foster's Brush Hog Service was out there. Keith was out there also with some of that, getting some of that taken care of. And it takes everybody that has assets in the community to help take care of these issues because no one person can do it all.
So,
and that's why these different military organizations and community organizations working together hand in hand are so important to solve some of these solutions.
So the big thing I think of before we get is the American Legion was established in 1919 and our post was chartered about around that same time. And we're doing a celebration March 7th. But this is Shasta Post 197, and we have four pillars. And like what Rob has been involved with is what we call the VA&R. That's the VA and rehabilitation, and that's what we're doing. That's our number one pillar of the American Legion. National security is another one, Americanism, and children and youth. All these programs are tied in, and we our local post does Boy State, and AmVest does their Americanism program, which is an essay, and I'd like to see more involvement from the students. This is great education. I mean, it's an opportunity that you cannot I just can't overemphasize. I'm so enthralled about doing the Americanism program for AmVest and doing Boy State. That's one of my best ones, I think, those two programs for the children and youth. It's where. And if we could ever get the rhetorical in our local community, I think that would be great. You learn the Constitution, so that's...
Well, and the Americanism is where we go into the classrooms and we ask the teachers to allow the children to write patriotic stories about certain subjects, and then those are graded, and then there's scholarships. There's award money that is given to those students who rise to the top and are able to get the best essays. And then they're sent back east to Washington, D.C., and they're even graded
exactly
again.
National, yeah, yes. National.
And so it's a wonderful opportunity. Yeah. It's just getting the schools to buy into the program with the teachers and allowing the children to talk about patriotism and nationalism, about our nation, our country, and our military.
And you know, Boy State teaches them actually our government, how our government runs. And we pay for that whole week for them to go down to Sacramento. Girl State is more expensive, and it's a shame that the Girl State moved out of the Sacramento area and went down south. Because now they have to get an escort, and, of course, that costs money for air flight and everything. You're talking about $1,000 is probably to send one kid to Girl State.
Right.
And our local auxiliary does more for veterans, and I can't – we're a family.
And
so.
Talk about your auxiliary and what you're doing in the community real quick. We have about a minute and a half left.
The biggest thing is I think poppies. I didn't look up the information. A lot of our poppy donations, those poppies that were made by the American Legion, they are actually donations that we give to veterans to make the poppies, so they're getting some money. Then we put out the vote, and they're free. I mean, they're – by donation. We want you to take a poppy, and if you can give a donation, fine. That 100% of that income goes right back into the program. It helps veterans, and that's what the program is for. We don't get anything
for it. So what are some of the things the auxiliary does with that funding? I mean, they go to some of the care homes, and they help take care of the veterans with toiletries and things like that.
The VA has just asked for some stuff to help veterans. It's all veterans located. We do have a fund that, for like we did with the car fire, we tried to get a hold of veterans. Of course, the HEPA prevented us from getting any names. They had to come to us. We do have a VA&R fund, which that helps veterans, and that's what's going to help pay for some of the stuff that we just did.
Right.
And that's somewhat. I mean, we're in a community. The biggest problem is we do not tell people what we do.
And that's why it's important for us today to let people know how involved the American Legion is in our community and the things that do, the outreach, the cleaning up of the drug dealers, cleaning up of the...